my soul so weary. When troubles come and my heart burdened be, then I am still and wait here in the silence until you come and sit a while with me. You raise me up so I can stand on mountains. You raise me up to walk on stormy seas. I am strong when I am on your shoulders.
Tuned to testing. You are tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, and it's time again for Dr. Mike's Health and Wellness Program. The purpose of this program is to restore and preserve your health. It's also geared to making you free of being so dependent on doctors and their drugs. And it also proposes to bring you the latest medical information. My name is Dr. Mike. I'm an MD and a naturopath. And the number to call in if you want to discuss any health problems is 831-427-3772. And you might want to get some pen and paper because we'll begin to write down what you're learning, because otherwise it's easy to forget things. You got to write them down and implement them, some of the things by degrees in your life, so you can move in the direction of being healthy. The basic diet that we propose in this program is a plant-based diet. If you are a big meat eater, we'd like you to cut down some on your meat and eat it gradually less often. And you'll find out why if you listen to this program more and more. The health that we're talking about is based on the natural healing force of the body has to heal itself. If we remove those things that are injuring it and give it those things that it needs for its own self-healing. Okay, that's good. I think now we have some technical stuff going on here in the studio. I don't know if you've heard it over the radio. It's some kind of interference pattern, and it buzzes every so often. So I'm not quite sure what the answer is. There, it's trying to start again. All right. And the other thing is, I'm missing one of my computers right now, so I'm actually working out of one computer, so hopefully I'm going to be able to do that successfully. The first thing we're going to talk about tonight is vitamin K. And I have a medical doctor online here to instruct you a bit about that. There are certain fat vitamins that are very important for the body, A, D, E, E, and K. And tonight we're focused on K. And actually next Monday, I'm going to devote a whole program to vitamin K, basically, because it's very, very important. All these vitamins work together, especially A, D, and K. They work together, so you have to have them in your body all at the same time. If you're missing one, it will interfere with the healing pattern of all these vitamins. So it'll be good to incorporate them in your diet, either naturally or through supplements. Vitamin K is essentially important for a number of reasons, but two of the main ones is that it helps to deposit calcium in the bones. So it helps to prevent osteoporosis, which is a big problem here in the Western world. And it also helps to reverse osteoporosis given the right dose. But as important as that is, it's even more important because it also helps to take the calcium out of the arteries. You know, the arteries get stiff and arteriosclerotic, and 25% of the deposit on the walls of the arteries is calcium. And if you can somehow take calcium out of the arteries, then it's going to help you have a better life, and it'll help you to cut down on cardiovascular disease. That's the basis of this CT heart scan that they do for predicting your prognosis of an early heart attack. So this is very well worthwhile your time and your energy to learn about vitamin K2 and the other fat vitamins. All right. So now we'll go over to the doctor here. He's going to talk to you briefly about it. And next week's program the whole program is going to be basically devoted to it. So if you're still interested, tune in next Tuesday at 7 o'clock.
Hi, Dr. Gerhauser here. The natural foods diet is really into making sure you have sources for the fat-soluble vitamins in your diet. They are what are so many times missing in the processed foods diet. Now, these vitamins include A, D, E, and K. So let's talk about vitamin K today. Vitamin K is the fat-soluble vitamin that most clinicians and patients know is related to blood clotting. Now, they are talking about vitamin K1. K comes from the German word coagulation. Most people also know that the major source of this vitamin is green leafy vegetables, such as spinach and Swiss chard. Now, since the 1980s, studies have shown a correlation between vitamin K intake and the risk of fractures. More recently, studies have begun to correlate vitamin K to other diseases and conditions. Now, as far as bone density is concerned, it is known that calcium is incorporated into the protein matrix of the bone by activated osteocalcin. Osteocalcin is activated through a carboxylation process that is catalyzed by vitamin K. Studies have shown that people with the highest percentage of inactivated osteocalcin have 5 times higher hip fracture rate than those with activated osteocalcin. It's also been shown that vitamin K2, which is different than vitamin K1, is much more efficient than vitamin K1 for activating these osteocalcin levels. Vitamin K2 then is sort of the new guy on the block. Exciting initial research is showing that it may have a large influence on many body functions. Now, Japanese studies have already shown that supplementation with high levels of vitamin K2 can reverse osteoporosis with no side effects. Does this sound like a safer, saner treatment as opposed to drugs like Fosamax that actually kill the osteoclast cells in the bone? Other side effects of these drugs include damage to the esophagus, death of the jawbone, and increased bone fragility, where people get spontaneous femur fractures. That's fractures without doing anything. Now, vitamin K2 is produced by fermentation. That is why fermented dairy products are a great source for K2. Another source for vitamin K2 includes natto, which is a fermented soy food eaten in Japan. I've never tried it, but I've heard it has a developed taste and smell. Now, animal fat and other organ meats are other sources of vitamin K2. There's evidence linking persons and animals deficient in K2 to abnormal calcification of soft tissues, such as the arteries. Vitamin K2 activates matrix GLA protein, which is a major inhibitor of arterial calcification. A large clinical trial done in Europe showed that low vitamin K was strongly associated with the risk of developing coronary artery disease, and higher levels showed reduced mortality. Now, studies in animals have also shown that supplementing with K2 can completely prevent the calcification of arteries in certain animal models. Now, the same studies, they tried K1, and K1 had very little effect, so there's a big difference. So it may be that vitamin K2 is the reason for the French paradox. You know the French paradox? The French people have low rates of coronary artery disease despite eating all that fat and cheese. So now you can stop guzzling all that red wine. There's no reason to. It's the cheese. Just kidding. But calcium deposition in the walls of the artery might also make the artery stiffer, so K2 deficiency may relate to high blood pressure. Research has also shown that vitamin K2 catalyzes an enzyme that produces sulfatides in the brain. Decreased sulfatides have been associated with brain aging and, guess what, Alzheimer's disease. Another possible area where vitamin K2 deficiency might be important is as a potential cause of kidney stones, again related to calcium metabolism. It could be that increasing K2 in the diet with supplements or in the food could prevent kidney stones. Recent studies have also shown that higher K2 levels greatly reduce the risk of prostate cancer. Other studies have shown it reduces varicose veins, skin aging, and helping with growth. There is other evidence that K2 may have important ramifications for the immune function. It's also noted that there are K2 receptors in mitochondria and the nucleus of many tissues. So I get the feeling we're only discovering the tip of the iceberg as far as vitamin K2 effects. Now, the foods that give you K2 may impact the risk for osteoporosis, cardiovascular disease, brain diseases like Alzheimer's, immune dysfunction, kidney stones, and cancer. Now, what are the foods that are high in vitamin K2? Well, it's mostly animal source foods, including hard cheeses, butter from grass-fed cattle, and not the factory farm butter that you get from Safeway, organ meats, egg yolks from pasture-raised chicken, curd cheeses. Notice that these foods are the ones modern nutritionists tell us to avoid. Now, there's K2 supplements in the form of MK4 and MK7, and there's evidence that these may treat vitamin K2 deficiency. Now, some people say, well, your gut flora makes all the K2 you need. Well, the K2 made in our gut flora is bound to the bacterial cell wall, and it's not bioavailable, so it's not a good source for K2. Now, it's not that I'm jumping on a bandwagon here. It's just that the science is finally catching up to the intelligent design of our Creator. All we have to do is eat the traditional foods for humans and avoid modern food processing in order to have abundant health. I was eating these foods that have all this K2 long before K2 was discovered. It's been a pleasure talking to you today. If you enjoyed this video, please click the subscribe button above.
Okay, that was about K2. That was an MD doctor speaking about that. So you'd be well advised to, it's needed for so many things, you'd be well advised to learn more. And next week's program, we're going to have pretty much the whole program based around vitamin K2. So try to tune in and learn about that. It's also you heard him say it has receptors in the mitochondria. The mitochondria are the powerhouses of the cells. If the mitochondria aren't working properly, you don't get the energy that your body needs to stay healthy. And also there's receptors in the pancreas, so that's why it's also implemented in diabetes. So we'll talk about that as well later. And he talked about pasture-raised cows and chickens do have K2. However, hardly any of our cows or chickens today is pasture-raised. That means raised out in the fields where they eat the grasses, especially the spring grasses are high in K2. Natto is a fermented soya that they talked about. You can buy it in Asian stores. I believe it's a required habit because it may not taste, may not smell that great, initially at least, until you get used to it. And okay, so that's good. Tempeh doesn't have it, so it's only certain soya products have it. Now we get on to the main. The main presentation of the show is coming up now. I'm just trying to set it up here on my computer. it's going to be about diabetes. Diabetes has been around for a long time. There's 1.7 million new cases every year. It's an epidemic. Soon they say there's going to be one in every two every second person with diabetes. Right now it's one in every three, basically. Or what I mean is 30 million people in the United States have diabetes, type 1 or type 2. So it's becoming more and more prevalent, and nobody really is doing anything about it. The politicians aren't, although I see they're making a start in San Francisco. They're not banning all the sugar that's in our food. It's in our cans of beans. It's in all kinds of food. They just inject it in there to get you addicted to the food. And the soft drinks, of course, are really bad. In a, I think it's a 8-ounce, 12-ounce glass of soda, there's something like 12 spoons of sugar. There used to be only 11, but they found a new way to squeeze another gram of sugar in there, spoon of sugar, rather, in there through some scientific process. So you guys are basically being poisoned deliberately by these drug companies. They put the sugar in there to mask other things in there, and also to increase your addiction. All right, let me see where I am here. And so now we have, we're going to have Dr. Jason Fong.
Is that the diabetes?
Oh, sorry, it started a bit before I wanted to. Dr. Jason Fun is a medical doctor. He's actually a nephrologist, a kidney specialist, and he's he's at the Scarborough Hospital in Toronto, Canada, just outside Toronto, Canada, where I used to live once. And there's a collection of doctors, and he's the main spokesman to me anyway, for a new understanding of diabetes. It's a lot different. It's a 180 degrees reversal viewpoint from the past, and he'll explain why. Because if you talk to any doctor out there, any MD doctor, they'll tell you that diabetes is a progressive disease. In other words, the longer you have it, the worse you're going to be. And all these side effects start happening, like loss of sight, heart attacks, kidney problems, amputations, you name it. As a matter of fact, I said before on this phone or somewhere, I said that according to the government Bureau of Statistics, a diabetic person is worth $750,000 to the medical profession. By the time they get through with their amputating and their heart procedures and their eye procedures and their kidney procedures, it's worth $750,000. So if it wasn't so much worth so much money, they might focus more on getting a cure for the disease, which this information I'm going to give you right now is about effecting a cure. And so if you don't have diabetes yourself, pass this information on to your friend or whoever it might be. You can find Dr. Jason Fung also on YouTube. He has some talks there. So you'd be able to tell your friend to go there and listen. All right. So we'll go ahead now. I'm going to set it up for broadcasting.
Is that the diabetes, they tell you, is a chronic disease. So this is what happens. And this is what happens in all studies. And if you've taken medications, you know this is what happens. So your sugars start out actually not bad. As you take the medications, the sugars actually come down a bit. But over the years, the effect sort of wears off. So then you wind up having to add more and more and more medications. So what happens is that no matter what drug you take, so these compare three drugs, metformin, glibride, and rosiglitazone. So no matter what drug you take, the initial effect is very good up to about 6 months. And then after about 6 months, the effect kind of wears off. And you can see that the sugar slowly goes up. And so what happens is that you wind up on a second medication or a third medication. And this is pretty well what happens to everybody. So if you've had diabetes for a while, and many people have had it for 10, 12, 15 years, what you find is that you start off on metformin, then you go to metformin and glibride, then maybe three agents or four agents, then you wind up on a little bit of insulin, then you wind up on more insulin and more insulin. And if you think about the diabetes, if you think about who has, mild diabetes and who has severe diabetes, you can see that the people who are just on the little bit of metformin are, have mild diabetes, and if you're on a lot of insulin, you have very severe diabetes. So in fact, over these years, despite what everybody tells you, your diabetes is just getting worse and worse and worse. So your sugars might go up, they might go down, but your diabetes is actually getting worse. And I think that's what confuses people a lot, because they think that the sugar and the diabetes are the same thing, but they're actually not. But over that period of time, you can see that no matter what, it's actually progressing, and they say it's a progressive disease. So this is the thing that you have to understand, that the sugars and the diabetes are actually two different things. So diabetes, the real heart of diabetes is the insulin resistance, okay? So that part is what's getting worse. The sugars is really just a symptom of the insulin resistance, okay? But it's not the actual diabetes. The actual diabetes is the resistance to insulin and the subsequent very high levels of insulin. If you want to think about it, you know, in an analogy, you can think about an infection. So if you have an infection, say you have a big, you know, infection in the lungs or whatever, that's the actual disease. The symptom is the fever, okay? So what you have to do is treat the disease, which is the infection, with antibiotics. You can't treat the symptom of the fever. So if you have a very bad infection, you need antibiotics. You don't need more and more Tylenol. So diabetes is the same thing. The disease is about insulin resistance, but the symptom is the high blood sugar. And yet all our treatment is directed against the high blood sugar. So you can see that controlling the high blood sugars actually doesn't do anything for you, because you're not actually treating the disease. The disease actually continues to progress. And that's the real problem. So up to about 5 years ago, we thought that treating the sugars would make you better. Right? And this is what probably all of you have heard. Your sugars are doing fine, your sugars are doing fine. So if you think that the sugars is the same thing as the diabetes, then you'd think that the diabetes is doing fine. But it turns out about 5 years ago that they did three very large studies. And what they found was that no matter if your sugars were well controlled or poorly controlled, it actually didn't make any difference. You still got complications of diabetes, you still got the disease, you know, the heart disease, the strokes, you got the, you know, the eye disease, the kidney disease, all of it. So none of that was made better by controlling the sugars. And if you think about it this way, you can see why. Because you're not actually treating the disease. You're only treating the symptoms. So just like if you take Tylenol for an infection, it might make you look better, but it doesn't actually make you better. So this is the same thing. So the diabetes is the insulin resistance. So you have to understand what is the cause of the insulin resistance, and then you actually have to treat it. So you have to treat the insulin resistance and not the sugars. Now, at a certain point when your sugars are very high, yes, you have to treat it. But that's not what is really important in the disease. The real part of the heart of the disease is the insulin resistance. And because they don't really understand what causes the insulin resistance, they can't actually treat it. So all your treatments, all the metformin, all the glyburide, all the insulin, all of that is aimed at simply treating the sugars. So here's the real question. What causes the insulin resistance? And this is what is happening in the body. This is just a cartoon. So normally the insulin causes you to lower the blood sugars. That's what it does. As you eat, you know, your blood sugars go up and insulin is released to take that sugar out of the blood and into the tissues. And that's a normal thing. When you develop insulin resistance, the insulin doesn't seem to work as well. So what happens is that the body kind of pumps up the levels of insulin to make it work well enough to get your sugars out of the way. But the high insulin level is a result of the insulin resistance. But what causes the insulin resistance in the first place? And that's really what you need to understand in order to treat it. Because if you know what causes the insulin resistance, then you can treat it. And it turns out that it's actually the insulin that causes the insulin resistance. And that might seem funny at first, but in fact, that's what happens in most biological systems. So if you look at any other hormone, if you get exposed to it, your body develops resistance to it. So if you look at addictive drugs or alcohol or anything, or smoking or anything, as you take the first one, say for instance marijuana or cocaine or one of these addictive drugs, or you can take Valium or any of these anti-psychotics and stuff. As you take the first one, you get a real high, but every subsequent one is a little bit lower. So you wind up having to take higher and higher doses to get the same effect. And that's really resistance or tolerance. And it happens for all drugs. Insulin is exactly the same. As you take more and more insulin, your body develops more and more resistance to it. And now you see that it's actually a real vicious cycle, because what happens is that if your insulin level is high, then you get some insulin resistance. As you get insulin resistance, you get higher insulin levels. As you get higher insulin levels, you get higher resistance, and it goes round and round. So you have a vicious circle. And in fact, treatment with insulin now is not simply not effective. It's actually making things worse, because you're feeding into that cycle. So while the insulin lowers your sugars, it is actually raising your insulin resistance. So in fact, it's making things worse. You're getting more diabetes by taking the insulin. And that's the real problem. When you understand the actual disease, you can see why current standard treatment is actually not only not effective, it's actually really, really, really bad for you. Because you're treating the exact, what is actually causing the disease is what you're treating it with. That's never going to work, right? It's just not going to work. So if you think about it, the problem is that the insulin level is too high. So you're not going to make things better by taking more insulin. It's like treating an alcoholic with alcohol, right? This is exactly the same thing. So the same thing happens in alcohol. If you take alcohol, the first one you get, you know, a real buzz, and then every subsequent one is a little lower. And what happens is that if you take the alcohol, your symptom, you feel a little bit better. But you're not making the alcoholism any better, right? This is the exact same thing. The problem is that your insulin levels are too high. So how can taking more insulin possibly be good for you? And the truth is that it wasn't. It was never good for you. In fact, it made things worse. But people didn't really understand that. And because they didn't understand that, they then made an excuse for themselves by saying that this is a chronic progressive disease. But the truth is that diabetes was not a chronic progressive disease, because we know that we can cure it in many cases. So if you do weight loss surgery or gastric banding or bariatric surgery, basically if you staple somebody's stomach, their diabetes goes away in like 90% of cases. So this was not a chronic progressive disease. This is a curable disease. So if you say that this is a curable disease, yet our treatment is making people worse, the only logical conclusion is that our treatment is completely incorrect. And that's exactly what it is. So when you're thinking about treatment of diabetes, there's a few things you have to consider. One, you have to understand that the key to treating diabetes is not to take more insulin. That makes things worse. The key is, how are you going to get those insulin levels really low? The second thing is that diabetes is a dietary disease, okay? Almost for sure it's a dietary disease. We know that. Yet, if it's a dietary disease, the cure is going to have to be dietary. You can't take a dietary disease and treat it with drugs and pretend that that's going to make things better. But yet, that's what we've done. We've taken a disease which is dietary in nature, and we've prescribed you drugs that suppress the symptoms. It's not going to make it better, and it hasn't. The last 30 years has borne it out. The third thing is that this is not a chronic progressive disease at all. This is, in fact, a curable disease, but you have to treat it the right way. You have to understand what you're doing. So one of the things we do in our clinic is that we are looking at ways of how to lower the insulin levels. And that's the real thing. And one of the simpler ways to do it is intermittent fasting. And that's why we have a lot of people on these sort of protocols. And one of the things to remember is that fasting has been done for many, many years. You know, everybody thinks that it's so crazy. Everybody hears about it at first and thinks it's crazy. But you have to remember that fasting has been done for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. And not only that, but almost every single major religion in the world has periods of fasting that are prescribed. Not because, you know, of any particular reason, but they recognize that it is actually a very healthy thing for people to be doing every so often. And why is it so healthy? Because what happens is that when you fast, your insulin levels go down very low. Because you're not eating, your insulin levels go down. And having periods where your insulin level is down helps prevent that vicious cycle, right? It's the insulin that leads to the resistance, which leads to higher insulin. It's a vicious cycle. So if every once in a while, you know, you do Ramadan, which is a month of fasting, or you do, you know, the 40 days of Lent, or whatever it is you do, if you have a period now where your insulin level is very low, you're going to completely break that vicious cycle. And if you do that routinely through the year, then you will stay healthy. You will prevent the development of that resistance. If you don't get the resistance, you don't get the high levels. And that's what we do. So I'm going to show you here what we do kind of in a demonstration. So what we do in terms of the sugars, you can think about it this way. The body actually has the ability to store energy in two ways. So when you eat, you're taking in energy as food, right? So you can store that in two ways. You can store sugar and you can store fat, okay? So sugar is stored in the liver as something called glycogen. And there is a limited amount of glycogen that you can store in the liver, but it's readily available, okay? So it's kind of like a short-term storage, but you can store sugar. If you store more energy than fat, the body will actually turn that into fat, and that's kind of long-term food energy storage, right? So as long as you're eating, you're going to be burning that off. You're going to be increasing insulin, and insulin is going to tell your body to store some of that away. Okay, so if you have too much sugar, what happens is that some of that is going to go into the stores. But as long as your stores are not full, it's not going to spill over into the blood. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to demonstrate it this way. So normally, as you take a little thing to eat, if you don't have filled up stores of sugar, what's going to happen is that you're going to fill it up a little bit, right? But it's fine. As you don't eat, so for instance, you eat dinner, you take in more calories than you can really use for that period of time. So your body produces insulin, and insulin says to the body, okay, well, I've eaten a big meal. I'll use a little bit of that as energy. The rest I'm going to put in storage as sugar, okay, because that's what I do. So it fills up the storage, but the storage is empty, so it's fine. Then you go to sleep, so for the next, 9, 12 hours, you're not eating. So what happens is that your body is going to take that and it's going to burn it off as energy. So that's fine. That's the normal situation. Now what happens in the diabetic situation is something like this. So over time, your storage is, empty. But over time, as you kind of continue to eat more and more, what happens is that storage kind of gets filled up. And now here's the situation in diabetes. This is your storage levels of sugar, right? They're completely full, right? And what you do when you eat is this. You're going to take in a meal, and you're going to have more sugar. And what's going to happen? It's all going to spill over into the blood, right? So the blood sugar levels go up. There's nothing it can do. It can't store anymore. So for a while, your body can compensate, but what does insulin do? So now you're diabetic, and this is what happens every mealtime. Your storage is filled up. Every time you eat, the sugar spills out into the blood. Well, as you take insulin to take care of that problem, the body is going to take that excess sugar and force it back into the body. So what happens to that? Your body is just going to store it as fat. In other words, the insulin is going to make you gain weight. And if you've ever taken insulin, you know already that's exactly what happens. But this is the problem. If you continue to do this day after day, year after year, all you do is gain weight, right? But it doesn't make you any better because all that sugar is still in your body. So it's kind of like that show Hoarders. I don't know if you've seen it, but people, hoard too much stuff and their house is full of stuff. So pretty soon the stuff flows out. And what happens? If you're taking insulin, all you're doing is taking all that garbage and shoving it back into the house. Well, that's not going to help. That's not going to make things better. In fact, over time, it's just going to make things worse. And that's exactly what happens in the current treatment of diabetes. So this is what we do instead. If your cup is completely full, the only rational treatment for diabetes. So this is the situation now in diabetes. Your cup is completely full. The only way that's going to make you better is to start draining it off. So that's what you do. So as you fast, what happens? A little bit of this water is going to come out and it's going to get burned off. The next time you fast, a little bit more of this water is going to come and it's going to get drained off. Every single time you do it. So when you eat, it will fill back up a little bit, right? But as you go, what's going to happen is eventually your stores are going to come down and it won't spill over into the blood. You're basically just forcing the body to burn off that sugar. But as you do, you reduce the stores of sugar and you get better. Your diabetes gets better because now you're burning it off. It's like that guy in Hoarders. Instead of shoving it back into your house, which is what the insulin does, we're just going to throw it out. And really, that's really the reason that we do this. You have to lower insulin levels, but you got to get rid of that sugar. Okay? You've stored up too much. And it hasn't been stored up over like a month. It's been stored up over like 10 years, right? So the thing is that it's not going to reverse in a week or a month or 2 months even. Yes, if you do fasting every day, it will reverse faster, right? Because you're getting rid of that sugar every day. So this is what we do. And a few patients actually have been kind enough to share their stories with us. But I'll present a few other cases because we've had, you know, quite a number of people go through the program. So I'll just share their stories with you quickly because really it illustrates really how powerful this new concept is. So the first case we have is Richard, who's here today. And so he's had diabetes for about 10 years now. And he's had a few complications, including some kidney disease, which is why he was here in this office. And he saw a colleague of mine, Dr. Ting, and so he was referred into the Intensive Dietary Management Program. And we started him in June of 2013. And we started him with a fasting regimen as opposed to the amount of insulin that he had. So this is Richard and his wife. Oh, I can't see that very well. And this is what's happened to his weight. So his weight, starting just above 250, has been steadily coming down. And it's down to 210. His waist size has continued to come down. And his hemoglobin A1C, which is the measure of his sugars, has stayed relatively stable, below 7%. And this is him now. So if you look at what has happened to his insulin dose, so he started off with 55 units of insulin. And within, 6 weeks, he was off of all his insulin. In other words, his sugars are doing fine, and he's off of all his medications completely. And his levels of A1C are no longer at a level where you could make this case that he is diabetic. In other words, you could say that his diabetes has been cured. By using these kind of simple understanding of diabetes, you can see that this is actually the rational, but also the natural way to cure diabetes. We're not talking about piling on more drugs for you. I mean, you go to some of these places, they'll tell you to take these experimental drugs and they'll want you to sign you up for drug trials. No. What we're doing has been done for thousands of years and is in fact exactly the way they used to treat diabetes. But they understood that it was a dietary disease. It has to be treated with dietary measures. This is the second case, Balraj, who's here this morning as well. So he was diagnosed in 2003 with diabetes, and he also had some complications of that. And so, after treating him incorrectly for many years, I started him on the Intensive Dietary Management Program because, back then I didn't understand much of this myself. Much of this is new. So he started in August, and so his weight has come down a bit, but he started at 186 and he's come down, 8-10 pounds or so. His waist has come down, but you can see his sugars, his hemoglobin A1C has stayed very good. And this is his medications. So again, starting at over 40 units, about 40 units a day of insulin. So this is what he had to take. Within 5-7 weeks, he was down to zero. He is no longer taking insulin. He's no longer taking any medications for his diabetes. Which, again, you could say, if your sugars are good and you're no longer on any medications, you could say that your diabetes has been cured. In essence, what we're doing is exactly the same thing we do with the stomach stapling surgery. So the stomach stapling surgery, the cure rates for diabetes are like 90%. But the benefits are because of the fasting. They cut your stomach so you can't eat. In other words, you're fasting. But if all the benefits come from fasting, why do the surgery at all? It doesn't even make sense. Just do the fasting. This is another case. He's not here, but he's a 45-year-old Filipino man, and he was just recently diagnosed with diabetes. He started with a hemoglobin A1C of 8.7%. So anything over 6.5 is considered diabetes. Anything over 7% is diabetes. But he was newly diagnosed, and he really didn't want to start any medications. So I said to him, well, if you don't want to start medications, then come into my program, and we'll treat you. And we'll treat you, and therefore you won't have to take medications. So it had been slowly rising over the last 6 months, and what happened was that he started in June. His weight, again, came down. It came down about 3 kilos, but his A1C continuously came down. So you can see that his final A1C at the end of 10-12 weeks was 6.3%. So again, at a level that you wouldn't be able to say that he has diabetes. So in other words, this fellow, instead of taking medication and then later taking more medication, then more medication, then more medication, we're able to treat him right off the bat with a dietary regimen, and he's been able not to take any medications. In essence, his diabetes has been cured. So again, lots of cases. Another fellow, 66-year-old Chinese man, much the same story. Type 2 diabetes, which was recently diagnosed in 2012, and you can see that his sugars were really high. His A1C was 10.5%. I told him to try different things, but I just saw him actually in September of 2013, and his A1C was still 9.4%. And he didn't have a drug plan, so he really didn't want to take any medication. So I said, well, if you don't want to take medications, come into the program. And that should say September 2013. So we started him a few months ago, and this is what's happened. So as he's following the program, his sugars are coming down. Exactly what we would expect. And as you follow the program longer, you're burning off those stores of sugar, and your hemoglobin A1C is coming down. So he went from 9.4 to 8.4, and I just saw him at 7.3. So again, all without medications, and I'm hoping that he will never have to take medications. Another case, Desmond, he had some heart problems. He also had diabetes, and he's here this morning as well to share his story. He also had a bit of complications, the heart disease, the neuropathy, and this is what we did. Again, with diabetes, it causes all kinds of problems, right? So you get heart problems, you get kidney problems, you get eye problems, all kinds of problems. And the thing about it is that there's nothing we can do about those kidney problems or those eye problems because it's the diabetes which is killing the kidneys, the heart, and all that sort of thing. If you don't do anything about the diabetes, you can't do anything about the kidneys or the eyes or anything else because the root of the problem is the diabetes. So you have to take care of the diabetes. And the way that we had been treating him was making the diabetes worse and worse. So we started him on the program, and again, his weight has been slowly coming down, as you might expect. His waist size has come down, and his sugars actually have stayed very, very good. But if you look at his doses of insulin now, again, starting at about 25 units a day, we're able to bring him down, and now he's no longer on any insulin. We switched him instead to one of the pills, which is, you know, for many reasons, is much better. It's safer. It's much less, you know, you don't have to poke yourself all the time. You don't have to check your sugars all the time. But really, he's been able to come down of all those medications. If your medications are coming down, you're coming off of the insulin, you're going on to pills instead, it means your diabetes is getting better, right? Before, every single year, your diabetes was getting worse. And now, for the first time, we see everybody's diabetes getting better. It's reversing, because instead of having higher insulin levels leading to higher resistance, now we have lower insulin levels leading to less resistance. So you're actually driving that cycle now in reverse, and that's why it's working so well. And that's just a recent picture of him now. A couple more cases. So Frank, who couldn't be here, we asked him to be here, and he said that I think he was away, so he couldn't come, but he did want to come. He also had diabetes and kidney disease, and he actually didn't really want to start. He calls himself a grumpy old goat because he didn't really want to start. He didn't think it was great, but I kind of talked him into it. I said, you know, you really should try it because there's nothing to lose by trying it. If you don't like it, then you don't do it. But we were able to start him on the program, and you can see here again, his weight is coming down nicely, his waist size is coming down, his sugars are improving almost every single time, and if you look at his doses of medication again, he started on 45 units a day of insulin. By the time we finished with him, he's on no insulin, and he's just taking a pill. So again, you can see that his diabetes is getting better. His sugars might go up and down. So the sugars actually get better as you treat the disease. Just like if you treat with antibiotics, your fever goes away because your disease is getting better. You don't have to treat with Tylenol because if you get rid of the infection, the disease, the symptoms go away. It's the same with the diabetes. As you treat the diabetes, the high sugars goes away because the high sugars was just the symptom. You can't treat the symptoms and expect the disease to get better. But as you treat the disease, the symptoms get better. So everyone here, their sugars are coming down. We're not treating the sugars particularly. We're treating the disease. Another fellow who is here, I follow for high blood pressure, and I've seen him for quite some time, actually. And he was also diagnosed with type 2 diabetes as far back at least as 2004. He'd been on insulin since 2007. And his main problem was actually high blood pressure. But I said, well, you know, high blood pressure goes along with the whole metabolic syndrome. So, in fact, the diabetes and the weight and the hypertension and the high cholesterol, they're actually all caused by the high insulin levels. So I said, well, with this high blood pressure, we need to do something. So I said, well, we need to get you into the program because he was on probably 8 different medications for high blood pressure, and his pressure was still like 200, right? So we put him in the program, and what happened to him, his insulin levels, his insulin dose went from 70 units a day to right now 0. He's just on some pills. That's fantastic. That's fantastic. His blood pressure is getting better. His blood sugars, again, they go up and down. We can see that they're all within the normal range. But we went from 70 units of insulin a day to 0 in less than 3 months. So 5 years of insulin that he'd been taking every single day. Not getting better, getting worse. Over time, it just gets worse. But now it's starting to reverse finally. And another fellow who isn't able to come, but we call Mr. Yes. Much the same story. He had been on insulin for many, many years. And as everybody here, he started with a medication, then he took more medications, then he took insulin, then he took more insulin. By the time they were done with him, he was on 140 units of insulin a day. And that's not even that unusual. I see lots of people with that kind of high dose. So as we got him into the program, his waist size was coming down, his weight is coming down, his sugars are getting better, and he's not completely off insulin, but he's down to about 30, 40 units a day. So from 140 down to about 30 or 40. So significant improvement. I mean, because he started so high, it's going to take a little bit longer. But again, you can see that as you continue to do it, it gets better. And this is Robert. He's also here this morning, but he's done extremely well again. So the same story, type 2 diabetes, treated with medications and more medications and more medications. Finally, they put him on insulin, and then I recently saw him, and I said, whoa, insulin, now this is not good news, right? So I said, forget that. We need to get you into the program. We need to get you treated correctly, because if you're not treated correctly, I've seen this movie before, it goes insulin, more insulin, more insulin, more insulin. In fact, his insulin dose went very quickly up to close to 40 units a day. So as we got him started, his weight started to come down, his waist size came down, his sugars got better, And look, within 3 weeks, he was off of all his insulin and just taking medications. Now we're working on getting rid of the rest of his medications. So that is the power of being able to treat it correctly. And these are not isolated cases. We actually see responses in, you know, the majority of patients because we're doing the things the right way. If you do it the wrong way, you'll never get any benefit from it. And that's what we've been doing all along. So the key here really is to lower insulin levels. And there's more than one way to do it. We use intermittent fasting because it's a very simple way to do it. But there's actually a number of ways to reduce insulin because that's really the key. The insulin is what causes the diabetes. What's interesting also is that the insulin causes obesity. And that's why they go together, because they have the same cause. They're both caused by the same thing. So whether you're here for weight loss or whether you're here for diabetes, they're both caused by the same thing. They're diseases of too much insulin. And if you understand that they're diseases of too much insulin, now you can say, that's good to know, because now I need to know how we're going to reduce the insulin levels. That's the key. So intermittent fasting is one way. The second way is to reduce your dietary refined carbohydrates. So carbohydrates tend to raise the insulin levels very high, and therefore they're something that you should reduce. There are also several protective factors. So there are factors that protect against the rising insulin. And one of those is a high-fat diet, which is very interesting because for many years you've probably heard that you should eat a low-fat diet. And what I'm saying is actually that wasn't good for you at all, because the fat actually helps protect you by keeping those insulin levels down. Fiber does much the same thing, so high fiber diets also help protect against the rise in insulin. Vinegar, so many traditional foods are very high in vinegar, pickled foods and that sort of thing are protective. And certain spices may also benefit, so cinnamon and turmeric and certain other spices may also have a role in protecting. So some people take other extracts like bitter melon juice, and that's the same sort of thing. There are probably natural compounds which also help protect against the rising insulin. But the key is, whatever way you do it, it's all done in the same manner. It's to reduce insulin levels. So you can do it with fasting, or you can do it with these very low carbohydrate diets. Now, the one question that everybody always asks about the high fat diet is that, isn't that going to clog up my arteries? And that's what we've taught you about. Oh, before I forget this. So this is the hormonal obesity theory, which is what it's all based on, which again, the real key is the insulin levels. So insulin levels, these are protective factors. But it's all to do with this vicious cycle between insulin and insulin resistance. Fructose, carbohydrates, wheat, they all play into the high insulin diet that we all eat. And that's one of the reasons that we're getting the obesity crisis, the diabetes crisis, is because we have a very high insulin sort of a diet. Processing is what's really bad, because it strips out the fat and strips out the fiber. So you're taking out these major protective factors, and therefore you're leading to increased insulin levels. And that's what we have to combat. The insulin leads not only to the weight and the diabetes, but also a whole list of things, which then leads to the heart disease, the cancer, and all these other things. So it.
Okay, there you have it. That's Dr. Jason Fung. And he explains it quite well, how how you can cure diabetes instead of becoming a long drawn out victim to it. It has so many side effects on your eyesight, on your heart, on your kidneys, on your blood pressure, etc. So if you suffer from diabetes, I would like you to hear this program. You need to listen to it at least 4 or 5 times. It takes a while for everything to sink in and for you to see it clearly. in the meantime, yes, you could start with a little fasting, maybe one day a week or something like that, and go to YouTube and look up fasting, and you'll get some rules of fasting, how to fast and different things. And you could just, even if you start with one day a week, Of course, there are fasting centers that one fasting center that's quite near me is in Santa Rosa. It's called the True North, and they specialize in fasting, and they fast people for 21 days or longer. All right, so while I'm talking to you here now, I need to be setting up some music. It's getting towards the end of the program, but let's see, how is it? It is at the end of the program. So we're going to sign off here in a few minutes with some music, I want to just run some information by you. Let's see. Again, you're listening to Free Radio Santa Cruz on 103.1 FM scale. And if you want to stream this radio station and this program, you go to freakradio.org. Freakradio is all one word, .org. And you'll see an image of an aerial tower, and you press the red button on the tower, and then you're on the show. A lot of these programs are archived at radioforall.net, radioforall.net. Radio for, the four is the letter four, is the number four. So it's radio number four, all, and then .net. And when you open that page in the search engine, you put the program you're looking for. I have actually, there's three different programs in there by three different names. This one is called Dr. Mike's Health and Well-Being. The other program is called The Awakening of the Self. That's more to do with meditation and the spiritual awakening of inner consciousness. And that program is on every Monday from 6 to 8. If you're interested in that, Monday 6 to 8, I'm back on the air. So you put whatever name is in there, and that's one of the names, Dr. Mike's Health and Welfare, and the other one is... The Awakening of the Self, and then the other name is Health and the Awakening of the Self. I used to combine both things together, and there's probably 20 or 30 different archive show under that name. That name is called Health and the Awakening of the Self. So you have those three names you can put in the search engine, and then you have to click twice on whichever number program you want. And then you go to the bottom of the page, there's a little red arrow there you'll see, and you press that. And once you do that, you're on to the show. All right, I think that's about it that I have for you today. So please tell your friends about the new way to treat diabetes, and tell them to go to Dr. Jason Fong on YouTube and study his approach. They'll need to listen to the program several times at least. That's what I found. I found if I listen to it a few times, it becomes clearer in my mind. It was a pleasure being with you and sharing this information. I hope some of the information is going to be of a practical nature to you. Right now, I'm trying to download this program here that I play music from, and it's coming true now, so we're okay. Okay, so... soon, any of these seconds, I'll have the music for you. Pavarotti. All right, we'll go out with Pavarotti. I think it's Ave Maria. Well, even so, he's a good singer, so hopefully you'll enjoy it. Okay, thanks for listening. See you next week.
Peace.